Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 285 of Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, as usual. Today, my guest is returning champion, Stacy Brown Randall. And I say returning champion because she's been on the program twice before, this making her third visit with us. And if you've heard her before, if you know anything about Stacy, you know that she is the be-all and end-all of referrals. She is the expert. That's it. That's the list. It contains one person, Stacy Brown Randall, who I'm happy to call a friend. And we decided to get back together again on the show to revisit some of the important elements and aspects of referral marketing, because as most attorneys will tell you along the way, that referral marketing is the primary source of new clients to their firms. And so we can't, in my opinion, focus enough on the details and mechanisms for how to go about establishing a robust referral marketing program. So without any further delay, once again, here's my friend Stacy Randall. Oh, and by the way, stick around to the end because she has an offer and a gift to share with you that's really kind of special. Okay, here's Stacy.
Stacy Brown Randall, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Neil, thank you so much for having me. I love any opportunity I get to hang with you.
Well, I tell you what, you're starting to move up in the ranks of most often appearing guests. This will be your third episode here on The Law Entrepreneur. And for our listeners who want to go back and kind of trace that history, Stacy was on way back when on episode 63. That was pretty much soon after we first met. So that's, you know, almost 200 and some odd episodes ago. And then as recently as episode 205. But I wanted to have Stacy back on the program today because, you know, I love A, talking to SBR, as I call her, and B, I think we needed a refresher course on referral marketing. And I'll tell you why I think that as we go forward with this. But by way of getting started, let's reintroduce you to our audience. Stacy, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yes, thank you so much. And if somebody has the most held visits or interviews on your podcast, I want to know what that number is so I can
feed it. Oh, it's five. Feed it.
Five. Okay. I got a marker. Yeah. Now the competitive juices in me are flowing. I'm like, all right, I got to get Neil to be back on.
That's held by Victor Medina. And we can actually thank him for not coming back on this past month in preparation for MacTrack Legal, which will have occurred by the time this episode airs. So otherwise he'd probably be at six, but he's within catching distance.
He is. So just don't let him back on until I can get on a few more times.
You got a deal.
Well, thank you so much for having me back. For those of you that I am new to, I think the easiest way to kind of describe who I am and what I do is I teach small business owners and solopreneurs. I work with a lot of attorneys and others, but I teach them, I'm a contrarian in the way to generate referrals. So I like to teach my audience how to generate referrals without asking, without paying, and with, of course, not having to be overly promotional and gimmicky, and just being authentic and really focusing in on the relationship and making sure we know what to do to take care of the people who take care of our business because they refer us. So I like making sure people know how to have a referable business, and then they know how to get the referrals that they deserve.
Well, one of the things I like best about that description is it hits all the points that I normally hear from attorneys as to why they don't like referral marketing. And, you know, historically amongst my peers, when you ask somebody, well, what do you do for referrals? The basic answer is, well, I let everybody I know know who I am and what I do. And I try and do a good job for everybody I work with. And, you know, I hope that I get some referrals. And at the end of my representation for clients, I make a point of forcing myself to ask them for further referrals. And, you know, that's the extent of my referral marketing program. And what I love about your program, and I've, you know, said this many times before, is it overcomes all the yucky points that that style of marketing employs. So let's kind of do a little bit of a recap. I mean, there's nobody on the planet, I don't think, who has researched more, studied more, read more, written more, talked more, been active in with other people more regarding referrals than you. So if anybody's an expert, you know, I feel very confident saying you are. And the analysis of what is a referral, what constitutes a referral, is a big cornerstone of your program. So let's kind of recap that in short order, and so we can set the stage for a further discussion.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll give the kind of high level definition of a referral. And of course, it's, you know, we dove into that deep in episode 205, so people can go back and listen to that. But, you know, the idea behind a referral is that it's two things. It's you were connected personally, typically over email, but you're connected by a referral source. That's the person who's going to refer you, but you're connected by a referral source to a prospect who has a problem that you can solve. And the trust that the referral source has in you to solve the prospect's problem is the reason why they picked you to refer to, but they're ultimately after solving the problem of the prospect. And that's probably a friend or a colleague or someone they know who has a problem. And they're like, hey, I'm going to refer you to Neil. And so there's always a personal connection. The referral source will always connect you to the prospect, and there'll always be a need identified. The prospect will know that they're the prospect. They need a will. They need their estate plan set up. They need a divorce attorney, whatever it is that you do, right? They need, you know, a criminal attorney, whatever it is that you do. That's why they're being referred to you, because somebody trusts you, the referral source, and the prospect needs what you do. And that is why we define a referral. Number one, personal connection. Number two, need identified.
Now, not all referrals are the same. I mean, there are different types of referrals, are there not?
Well, I think that there's different types of referrals.
But they all share those characteristics, the good ones.
Yes, and there is definitely the positive, right? I mean, from that perspective, I think that there are things that look like a referral. And then this day and age, we use language interchangeably or terms interchangeably that we shouldn't, that I think has diluted the power of what a referral is over time. So you'll hear people talk about word of mouth referrals. And I'm always like, actually, that's like word of mouth buzz is separate from a referral because it's missing some of those pieces. So there are things that people use the terminology with referrals that dilute its actual definition. But I always tell folks, if you know you have a referral when it becomes an easier client to close, and I'm going to guarantee you it's because there was a connection and because there was a need identified up front. Now, who those referrals can come from, of course, there's different types of referral sources, but the best type of referrals are going to come because there's a connection and a need identified.
Yeah, and that's really what I wanted to kind of focus in on a little bit here was referral sources, because I think the problem for attorneys in particular, and maybe true for other business, but attorneys in particular, is they really have a hard sense or a hard time kind of identifying who their referral sources are. And they spend a lot of time, we spend a lot of time, and I'll count myself among the guilty here. We spend a lot of time either barking up the wrong tree or just wasting a lot of effort with entities or people or resources that aren't really good referral sources for us. So let's talk about, like, what are the different types of referral sources, and are there, what are the differences between them?
Yeah. So I always tell folks, think about there's two you want to focus on and two you probably can ignore. I mean, you may, once I give you the definitions, you may choose not to. It really depends on your practice area. Mm-hmm. The best two types of referral sources are going to be your clients and then your centers of influence. And your centers of influence being people who know what you do, but don't do what you do. And they also come across people to refer to you.
Yeah.
So clients, centers of influence. And a centers of influence, that's a subset of your network. It's not the 5,000 people you're connected to or the 500 people you're connected to on LinkedIn. It's the subset that actually know what you do enough to be able to refer you and come across your ideal client. When we build a referral plan to get more referrals from our existing referral sources, or when we go about identifying potential referral sources, in both cases, we're always looking for clients and COIs. Now, that's not to say the third level is friends and family. So that's not to say your friends and family can't refer you. It's just typically not something that you're going to have, particularly if you're an attorney, from a longevity perspective. Maybe as a real estate agent, maybe as an interior designer, I can have more friends and family that would refer me just by the nature of it being B2C. And a lot of attorneys do B2C work as well, but it's not something that's as easily, I think, that people think about referring to, right? When it's family and friends. Yes, your family and friends may try to refer you, but usually they do that in the beginning and it's not really as great sticking power. But you can decide if you've got an aunt that refers you a lot, or you've got a brother who's always referring you, great. They're probably more deemed like a COI than they are family and friends. But that doesn't mean you won't get referrals from them. And then the last group are strangers. And strangers, I mean, like, they are a stranger to you, but you are not a stranger to them. For whatever reason, your reputation precedes itself, and they know that you are the type of person they would refer to, even if you don't know who they are. But strangers are hard to find. That's like a needle in the haystack. So we don't build our referral plans to take care of them. We build it focused on clients and COIs.
And the irony is I think that most attorneys focus on those latter two cases to the detriment of the two more important ones. I think we tend to focus on our friends and family and getting the word out that, hey, I'm an attorney, and share that experience with all the people you know. We think that that's kind of a network multiplying event with friendly faces. Or we try to increase our reputation anonymously so that we're viewed by people that we don't even know as being competent or relevant in our practice areas. And then, you know, we're hoping that we get referrals out of them. But as you suggest, they're probably not the most lucrative area to focus on.
Yes, very true. And I think sometimes it has to do with because you don't know what to do to get those referrals from your clients and your COIs. It's just easier maybe to go and tell your friends and family that you're now an attorney.
I've spoken to hundreds of attorneys, and when you ask them, what kind of post-engagement relationship do you have with your former clients? And they will tell me, well, nothing if they don't call me back, if they don't need my, support anymore. No, I've done a good job for them. I hope that they remember that. But no, I don't reach out to them on a consistent basis. That's number one. Or number two, when you talk about their centers of influence, they're shotgunning their approach to centers of influence. I sent a letter to every doctor and every chiropractor within a 50-mile radius for my personal injury practice, seeking referrals from them. Well, now you're just network fishing. You got a whole bunch of unrelated people who really don't know you. They have no vested interest in supporting your practice. So it's interesting that I think the two areas that you, through your research, know to be the most productive are the areas that, in my humble observation, I think attorneys do the least in.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to the sense or the feeling that they have that they don't want to do the wrong thing and upset a client or a COI, or they don't want to look a certain way to those clients or COIs, or they just don't know what to do. So it's easier to try all those other spray and pray kind of methods.
That's exactly what they are.
Growing their firms.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before too. I mean, it's probably, it's definitely something people do. I wish they wouldn't, but it's an easy trap to fall into.
Well, and the justification for that oftentimes is, well, look, I can use one email and broadcast it to 4,000 people. It's an efficient use of my time. And then they sit back and wonder, well, I didn't get any referrals from that. I wonder why.
Oh, it's so true. And it's sometimes like, well, I post all this content on social media about how I help my clients, and that content is going to generate referrals for me. And I'm like, you were trying to shoot a fish in a barrel here. Like, you know what I mean? I think that's the right analogy when I just used that. But like, it's like, we're trying to do these things that we feel are efficient, and we feel are efficient from our time perspective, but we haven't paid attention. And as you talked about, like, we haven't paid attention to like the brain science and the psychology and the why behind referrals happening in the first place. And it's like when people can get that in their head, they're like, oh, wait, so referrals aren't about me and me telling everybody what I do and me posting on social media about how awesome I am. No, they're not about that. They're about somebody else helping somebody. And it's about your relationship with that person that when they're trying to help somebody, that is going to get you the referral. And I think this is one of the things that I find that people always get wrong. And it's one of the things I always make sure to say, which is there are two things that are needed for a referral to happen. And you only control one of them. And they are, those two things are desire and opportunity. So there's got to be a desire of the person to refer to you. There are, I mean, okay, let's just use you, Neil, as our example. How many attorneys do exactly what you do in your area?
Oh, you can't swing a dead cat without knocking over, you know, 15 of them. So there's a ton of people doing estate planning. And before that, when I was doing family law, an even bigger pool.
Yeah. So usually we're sitting in an environment where there is dozens to hundreds to thousands of people just like us. Yep. And so the desire to pick you over any other attorney has got to be based on the relationship we have. And so I have this exercise that I do in our my free Facebook group. It's called Referrals Without Asking. It's part of this four-day challenge. I do it a couple times a year. But I have this exercise that I do that I have people figure out why they're actually referred. And they think, I'm like, tell me why you think you're referred. And they'll tell me it's because of the work I do, because I am an amazing attorney and it's the work I do. And then they go ask somebody, why do you refer me? And then they're like stunned that the answer is, yes, you do great work. That is a minimum, like minimum requirement for entry. Nobody's going to refer crappy work. Like, of course you have to do great work, right? But that's why they think they're referred, is because of their work output or the type of attorney that they are. And I'm like, no, why you're referred? And then they get the second part of the answer, which is because I trust you. Oh, wait, the desire to refer you is based on the relationship and the trust that I have in you. And out of desire and opportunity, you only control the desire. And that is based on the relationship you have with the people who do refer you or have the potential to refer you. Opportunity is how often they are going to come across somebody who's going to need what you do, which means selection of who our referral sources are. If we're going to spend time and energy and two and not all four of the types of referral sources, then our selection becomes important because we don't control the opportunity that they come across to refer us. They're probably better suited people to refer us who have greater opportunity. And it's our responsibility to identify that. But still, when we identify the people who have the greatest opportunity to refer us, we still only control if they have the desire to refer us. And that is all based on the relationship we have with them.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example of that too, because I found through following your teaching and prescribing to your analysis that some of my best referral sources are soccer moms. Now, if you'd asked me, you know, a couple of years ago, who are you going to go after as a potential referral source? Who are you going to focus on? Soccer moms would have been, even though I love the game of soccer and I love moms, probably would have been pretty low down on my list, because I'm thinking, you know, most estate planning attorneys, they focus on creating relationships with financial planners, or they're working with you know, folks who are dealing with an older clientele, what have you. But soccer moms, I got in with a group of soccer moms locally here and did some good work and had some great relationships, because, you know, I may not be a good attorney, but I'm great at relationships. And they've proven to be my greatest referral source. And I never would have thought of that, you know, before working with you as an example.
Right. And I think that's because the very first thing I tell people, and sometimes I feel like a broken record because I'm constantly saying it all the time, is that the number one thing you need to do if you want more referrals is please take the time to identify who's referring you now. Because it's when you see that information in front of you, you're like, oh, wow. Yeah. And like you did, I should be focusing on soccer moms because for whatever reason, they are referring me. And that gives you a course of action to take. And it helps us get to results faster.
It's 100% correct. Because when I uncovered that unknown truth, I then kind of refocused my marketing target to get narrower and narrower, to get closer and closer to my geographic location, because there's a whole bunch of moms and young parents within, you know, a stone's throw from where I live and work. And so when I kind of came to that realization, that's when my practice started taking off. And it's really because, as you say, if we don't take the time to find out who is doing referring, we can't possibly nurture that relationship. And that's the point I also wanted to have you, you know, chat about for a second. It is the relationship. It's not who you are. It's not where they come from. It's not who they have access to, although that's a component of it. But it's the relationship that you have, the personal relationship that you have with that referral source that makes it effective.
It is. And here's the one thing, though, I want to say, because I can imagine we've got some folks listening and they're like, I'm really busy and I don't have time to be grabbing coffee or a beer after work with all these people I need to have relationships with and maintaining those relationships, because we naturally go to a place that when we say it's the relationship you have with someone that allows them the desire to refer you when they have that opportunity, immediately people go to, well, that sounds like it's going to take a lot of time. And what people miss is that there is an easier way to make sure that you are staying top of mind and it not feel like you're keeping in touch, but you're staying top of mind in a way that's more memorable and meaningful. And it's allowing you not to feel like you've got to do something every day, every week, or heck, even every month. But what you do to maintain that relationship does matter, the what you do and the what you say. But at the same time, this shouldn't be something where you're like, oh my gosh, all I do is grab coffee with people, grab lunch with people, or grab drinks or a milkshake or whatever after work with people, trying to maintain relationships. What people don't understand until they really start paying attention to how relationships work from this perspective is it's not about FaceTime. FaceTime matters. Quality time matters. Absolutely. But that is not the way. You don't need to be doing it on repeat every month to get people to refer you. I mean, I think that's the piece that people miss, is that this sounds like a lot of work. And I'm like, no. Not if you're doing it right. And not if you're being intentional about how you're going to develop that relationship with your referral sources. And it shouldn't be a ton of FaceTime.
Well, and I'll add one more component to that. One of the things that I've tried to do is to make that connection fun, right? I don't want it to feel like work. And so to the extent that you can weave that into your own kind of normal social public interaction, I think it feels less like work and more just like getting to know people.
Absolutely. And I think depending on who you are matters as to what you'll do and what will work for you. I mean, you know, it's really interesting when people start talking to me about, okay, so this relationship building that I have to do. And like you said, I like to make it fun and make it like more like getting to know people versus feeling like, you know, it's like all this work that I have to do. I'll never forget. There's always people who come up. They're like, Kate, but I'm an introvert and I don't want to be talking to people all the time. And I always go back to the second person. I mean, like, oh my gosh, this is almost a decade ago now, but I go back to almost the second person I taught my strategy to. And she was an attorney and she's a complete and total introvert, which is crazy because she's like the most fun person to hang out with, but she's an introvert. And she's like, I'm not networking. I don't want to do these things. Like, and it was all about creating the right strategy that was going to work for her, that was going to allow her to deepen and strengthen her relationships in a way that didn't have her going to every networking group and every bar association event and having to take people out to coffee all the time. Like, she could do those things, but she was like, there's just some things I don't want to do. And honoring who you are through the process is just as important as honoring who the referral source is through the process as well. But at the end of the day, what I always tell folks, it's not about you. It's about them. They are the ones that refer you. They are the ones that you need to maintain trust with and build relationships with. So you got to do kind of what it looks like for them and putting them first.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you by Center Stage and the Law Firm Marketing Minute, two great podcasts produced by Spotlight Branding. We're a legal marketing company providing content marketing for law firms that actually works. And we created these shows as a free resource to help lawyers like you learn more about marketing and business development. every Monday, the Law Firm Marketing Minute arrives with a short 10-minute dose of marketing tips and inspiration to help you grow your firm. On Wednesdays, Center Stage arrives with perspective from other lawyers and legal industry experts to help you tackle marketing and other business development challenges. Check both of these shows out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and more. Both shows make great companions for the law entrepreneur, so subscribe today. Hope to see you there soon.
Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients. You know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And this episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the all-in-one contact relationship manager, or CRM. I've been using Daylight for well over 10 years now, and it's the best CRM for business on the Mac and iPhone. And despite having a case management platform that I'm very happy with, I still use Daylight to handle all of my many other law firm needs. When you're running your own law firm, it can be difficult to stay on top of follow-ups, keep track of details and communication, and stay aware of what needs to be done next on each project. Daylight organizes everything in one place, so you don't have to rely on your memory to keep it all straight. If you're feeling like it's time to upgrade from spreadsheets to a CRM, check out Daylight. You can download it from the App Store or visit www.marketcircle.com and try it free for 30 days. On top of that, you can get your first month free when you tell them you heard about Daylight here on The Law Entrepreneur. Daylight by Market Circle, staying top of mind without the stress. Well, to our listeners, it's obvious that my guest here, Stacey Brown Randall, knows of where she speaks. I just want to, before we kind of get too far down the road, let everybody know that you got a book, you got a podcast, you got some courses, you got some coaching, you got some live training. So we're going to go over a lot of that, or where you can find that, where you can take advantage of that a little later on here in the episode. But one of the things that you've shared with me that you've done through the course of all this research and analysis and work that you do in the referral business is you developed this big picture overview of the six layers of referral strategy. And it's a really interesting graphic because I think it gets to the essence of the scope of the program that you advocate. So I thought, if you could kind of just introduce us a little bit to that graphic, and then I think you have an offer for some from folks there about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So here, you know, what's interesting, I've been doing this, like I said, for almost a decade, and I'm still sometimes surprised when I come up with a new way to talk about it. And usually those new ways to talk about things happen because I'm in conversation with someone and I can see, like, I'm saying it and it's not clicking. And I'm like, okay, wait, let me explain it this way. And then I see the light bulb go off and I'm like, oh, maybe other people, that would be beneficial for other people. You know, you just teach something for so long and you get so close to it.
Well, have you ever been in that situation where you, let me draw a picture.
Yes.
And you start drawing a picture on a pad of paper or a whiteboard or what have you. And then you realize, why don't I have that graphic?
Right. That's exactly what this is. Like, yeah. I literally was drawing out boxes. It was like six boxes. And I was like, okay, and this is the one that matters most. And then here's the next box. And so what you're referring to is our layered approach, right? The six layers of a referral strategy. And it came literally before having a conversation with somebody who was actually a newer business owner. And I think that's one of the reasons why it wasn't clicking in the very beginning with some of the stuff I was saying, just because she was like so new to being a business owner. And I was like, let me break this down for you. And you're right. I was mapping it out. I was drawing it on a piece of paper. I like had to borrow a piece of paper and a pen from her. And I was like mapping it out. And so when I tell folks, think about these six layers, sometimes I know the first thing you hear is, oh my gosh, there's six. Like how many? Mm-hmm. Like that seems like a lot, but these are actually not as complicated as people think. And I always tell folks, I want you to break it down and look at it in two ways. And I always refer to it as the left side and the right side. And the left side is layer number one and layer number two of these six strategies. And they really are, in my opinion, the most important from a foundational structure perspective to have a fully functioning, a very healthy working referral strategy in your firm. And layer number one is the how do you receive more referrals from your existing referral sources? So how do I get more referrals from the people already referring me? And there is, you know, within that box, there are the steps, the basic steps of what you do in that way, right? Like identifying your referral sources, creating your yearly plan, executing, knowing the right language. How do you follow up? How do you change quality? Like there's just some pieces of the basic steps that fit into that first layer. Then the second layer is the potential referral source. So that's turning your clients and your contacts into referral sources. So we're looking at this from layer number one is who's already referring you? And is there a way to take better care of them to get more referrals? And then there's this potential referral source layer that kind of comes beyond, beside that one and says, hey, but do you have other clients and contacts you wish or COIs you wish were referring you? Here's the process for that. And these can be two plans. Your firm may only need one of them. Your firm may need both of them, but they're two plans that can run parallel or can run concurrently. We never build them concurrently because that's overwhelming, but you can run them or, you know, just have them run parallel, have them run concurrently in your business.
Yeah.
But these are plans. These first two layers of the six layers are plans you build and then you allow to execute on them. And they're not daily, weekly kind of things. So it's not like it's this massive outlay of time either. But there are the plans you got to have working in your business.
But it's structured. It's a structured approach.
Oh, yes. Because Let's be honest, even the people who hate structure, right? We all know you still don't get anything done unless you at least know the direction you're heading in.
Well, yeah. People who hate structure, you know, are the ones that don't get anything done. Attorneys need it laid out step by step. And so that's what this does.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's funny. And somebody asked me one time, they're like, how do you put all these things in order the way you do? I'm like, it's just the way my brain works. I mean, I guess God at some point knew, yep, Stacey, you're going to be teaching people how to get referrals without asking. And it's going to be new and different. And you're going to have to teach it step by step. So I'm going to give you a linear brain who thinks do this, do this, do this in order. So it's how I teach because it's how I think. For better or for worse, yeah. I guess.
So what's on the right side?
So on the right side, okay. So if the left side are plans, they're like they are strategies or plans, whatever you want to call it. There's like, this is what we're going to do for the next 12 months, right? For referral sources, existing or potential. On the right side though, these are situational language tactics. And these situational language tactics are the ones that we are like tools in our toolbox. Like, hey, I'm in this situation. Oh, I know what to do here. So layer three and layer four deal with referred and non-referred prospects. So it's all about being able to plant referral seeds, which is the language that I teach in my program, but it's understanding referral seeds during like the buyer's journey. And it's different if someone's been referred to you versus they haven't been referred to you. And then it's also the things that you say in those meetings that you have with your referred prospects, right? Those referral seeds you can plant with them as well when you're meeting with them for the first or second time. And so these are language tactics. You're not meeting with a referred prospect every day. You don't need this step every day, but when you are meeting with a referred or a non-referred prospect, these are some of the things, right, that we teach that I want people to know. And layer five and layer six are similar in that same vein. Layer five is all about your clients. So particularly new clients, but really overarching, having a strategy regarding your client experience. And like, what does it look like to know how to plant client experience referral seeds with your clients in that sticky client experience way, as you're going through the process of doing work with them. And so their tactics, their moments, right, when you would pull out that referral seed language and be able to plant a referral seed. And it's the same with layer six, which is networking. It's in the moment of being at a networking event and knowing how to plant engagement referral seeds or flipping non-referrals into referrals. But these are situations and you don't always need all of them. And you certainly don't always need all of them every single day, but it's understanding that there are situations that will arise and the language you speak will matter most if you want to try to plant a referral seed or to get someone to start thinking about you from a referral perspective. So I always tell folks, the secret sauce of what I teach is my referral seed language, like the what exactly it is and when do you say it and what are the words that you say and what does it look like and what's the formula behind it. Like that's what I provide to the people who do business with me. But to give you an overview, and I know Neil, you know this, but for the benefit of your audience, the referral seed language, it's just the words that you speak that allow someone to start thinking about you from a referral perspective. So in the simplest way I can give this kind of an example is there is one line that is planting the perfect referral seed when somebody has referred you and you are handwriting them a thank you card. So this is the best example I can give for people to see it in their mind's eye, right? When somebody refers you and you are handwriting, definitely handwriting, you're not emailing, you're not texting, you're not lazy, but you are handwriting a thank you card to that person. Whatever you want to say in that card is probably going to be fabulous. But I want to make sure you're including this one referral seed called thank by name, which is where you're going to say, thank you for referring Neil to me, right? And you're going to use the name of the person they referred to because that is the easiest way in that moment to plant a referral seed. So again, the right side, these layers 3, 4, 5, and 6, they are language tactics of you knowing what to say in the moment. But ultimately, the goal of them is to get someone to think about you from a referral perspective. But how we do it is it's a part of everyday normal conversation, easy to use. And it doesn't feel like anything you've probably ever been taught with referrals because there's no pushiness, there's no salesiness to it, there's no asking, there's no like, hey, who do you know? Like, that's not the type of language we're using, but they're just moments and you know when to use the right language.
Can I just refine or offer my take on that a little sure. differently? I think the language that you have used for planting the referral seed, kind of think that is the magic.
Yes.
Okay. But I think the secret sauce is really the fact that the referral strategy permeates everything in your business, but most specifically the client journey. It's not something that's tacked on at the end. It's something that you have consciously applied throughout the client's experience with your firm from start to finish. I think that's the secret sauce, Stacey.
I love that. I just actually took a note on that. We're probably gonna have to post that somewhere as a quote on social media from you in the future.
Yeah, because and to focus in on the magic words, the referral seeds, most attorneys, again, I'm raising my hand as to indicate guilty of this myself. So it's not like I'm saying it's all those other attorneys. I did this myself for a long time. At the end of the client relationship said, you know, the lifeblood of our existence is referrals. And we were delighted to work with you. We'd be delighted to work with somebody like you. If you could possibly refer us, we'd really appreciate that. Okay. That's what most attorneys think of when they think of referral marketing. And it's an afterthought at the end of the relationship. And it feels kind of, it's not using the magic words that Stacey teaches or the phrases, or it's not embedding it, planting that seed. You know, when you get the client who's been referred to you, I know part of your teaching is to make sure they understand that they came to you as a referral and that you really appreciate the person who referred them to you, because you're planting the idea that they're going to be a referral source when you're done with their matter. And it's permeates the whole life cycle of the client experience in your teaching.
You know, you're absolutely right. And I think it's the totality, right, from that holistic viewpoint of kind of how we see the idea behind referrals and how we can weave it into lots of different things in a very normal way is really what people, when they kind of get it and they're like, oh, like this is something I can run my practice from, right? Like this is something that I could see how not just me, but my teammates could be using this language, and we could be doing this type of feeling and this type of way of connecting with our clients, connecting with our referral sources who maybe aren't clients. Right? And you're right. It really is all the pieces and parts. We start from a place where people can get it. But to your point, right, Neil, because you've just been exposed to it for so long as being a member of the program, is that you can also see how the layers start stacking on and you're like, oh, and then all of a sudden you know them before I even tell them to you because you just see it all happening.
Yeah, I feel they amplify each other. You know, I think that every layer that you add in your, you know, six layered approach, I think each one amplifies the other. And by the time you get to the end, if you've implemented, you know, the planning side of it and also mastered the implementation side of it, I think you've amplified your referral marketing, you know, to the highest level. And now it's really just a second nature. It's part of your practice. It's part of what your firm is about. It's part of who you are as the leader of that firm. And it doesn't feel tacky. It doesn't feel added on. It feels, you know, an integral element.
Yes. Completely agree.
Now, I've been sitting here scribbling, you know, notes about the layers, but I think you have a graphic, do you not?
Yes.
Can we offer that?
The bucket. It's a cleaned up version of my bucket drawing. Yeah. The very first time I talked about it. Yes. And it's really easy for people. We call it the layers PDF, which makes it really easy, but it's just at stacybrownrandall.com/layers. But I'm sure it'll be easier if you just link to it in the show notes and everyone
we're going to have it in the show notes. And actually I want to just bring out the whole idea of going to www.stacybrownrandall.com because you're going to find a whole lot of things there. Okay. If you add the /layers, you're going to be able to access this graphic and download it and use it and kind of evaluate your own referral program based against it or where you think you need to spend some time working on things. And if you decide you do want to work on it, I can't recommend Stacy's, you know, programs highly enough. I mean, if you read her book, you know, Referrals Without Asking, which we have plenty of here in my office because I hand them out all the time. And also, you know, listen to Stacy's podcast. If you can't tell, she's a polished pro here behind the microphone. She has a weekly podcast called The Roadmap to Grow Your Business. And, you know, you listen to that, I think you get kind of an undergraduate degree in referral marketing. And then if you sign up to take any of her classes or her teachings, you know, you kind of elevate to the master's program. And, you know, if you decide you want to be coached by this expert and really kind of drill down deep into the process, you know, you'll get your PhD in referral marketing. And I don't know that there's any better investment that you can make in yourself. So go to www.stacybrownrandall.com. And if you go to stacybrownrandall.com/GBR, and as in growth by referrals, GBR-Neil. And again, we'll have that all that in the show notes. And Stacy's got a special little gift that she's agreed to help me share with you in the form of a discount. So if you decide you want to take advantage of that, you know, go there and take advantage of her kind offering. And you too can start your journey on this kind of roadmap to success here through referrals.
Yeah. And you know, it's awesome, Neil, when I think people listen to you talk about your experience with the program and how you buy into it and how you are such a big believer in it. I think it helps people understand that it doesn't really matter where you're starting from. When you are deciding to kind of go on this journey, I always tell folks, like when you're starting that referral ninja master journey, right? You're on your way to really being able to generate more referrals for your firm in a way that really is going to work for you and honor you and honor the relationship you have with your referral sources. And you're starting on that journey. Like there are a lot of stops along the way you're going to make as you're consuming that information. But there are so many, just like you, Neil, who've gone before that have had success that I think are awesome about always making sure to come along, folks, and kind of direct them and show them the way where to go. So, of course, it's my pleasure to offer to your listeners that discount and then some other goodies too, right? I mean, when people go to stacybrownrandall.com/GBR-Neil, not only is there, yes, a discount into the program, this, you can't find this anywhere else, but also a one-on-one onboarding call with me, courtesy of just our relationship and what a great supporter you are of the program. And a one-on-one onboarding call that they can have with me when they're starting the program to get all their questions answered or just anything they want to talk about as they're going through the program in the first couple of months. So, you know, we're doing that for your folks because I know you're such a strong believer in the program and I want to help as much as I can.
And where else do you get to hobnob and chat with the professor before you even start the course?
Yes, that's right. You know?
Doesn't happen too often. Well, Stacy, thanks ever so much for sharing your time with us today and your third appearance on The Law Entrepreneur. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Number four, number five.
Number four, number five gets you to the head of the class.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, how about that? That's a wrap for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors once again, as usual, Daylight by Market Circle, Spotlight Branding, and Ruby, as in Ruby Receptionist. If you have a chance, swing on by our website at www.lawentrepreneur.com. You can check out a bunch of information and resources there. And if that doesn't satisfy your needs, swing on by our Facebook page or Twitter page. You can find those just by simply searching for The Law Entrepreneur. And if you'd be so kind, I would greatly appreciate it if you go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and an honest review. If you find this podcast is helpful and that you're getting value out of it, it does help with our visibility and ensures that we're going to be there for another 5 years or so, as this has been quite the run. And I'm greatly appreciative of your interest in The Law Entrepreneur.